all the things the Phoenicians were, you got the idea that in it, God revealed himself, in the words, God revealed himself.
Oh, you turned it on? Oh, you are so good, Martin.
Okay. Didn't do it yesterday, so it's a good
one. Okay, yeah, you can turn it on now, it's fine. Okay. That's cool. And then we talked about it, how to get into the Word and get things out of the Word. Some of you guys needed help, so we got the Holy Spirit's help by giving us a little cheat sheet, right? Not a cheat sheet, the Holy Spirit. But he gave us a translating tool, right? Help us out. And then we found out that it was work, right? It was work. It was hard work. We were trying to do things. We were getting confused on some things. We were struggling with it. But we got through. We found out when we got through and we started understanding some of it, a lot of you guys are going, yeah, okay, I got something. This is cool. I like it. Okay? And so you get revelation when you're doing things. You get revelation. When you start getting stuff like that, it's very encouraging. I can do this. Oh, this is great. I like this stuff. And so we talked about the Word yesterday. And so today I want to continue talking about the Word, but I want to put it on another level. Okay? So we're going to talk about the Scriptures. Okay? And now, first I'm just going to give you some Scriptures about the Scriptures. Okay? Because the Lord says a lot of stuff about His Word. And then what I want to do is I want to compare the Scriptures to food. Okay? Because that's what it is. It is our food. Spiritual food. So we look at this. All right. Here are some scriptures about it. Paul tells Timothy about the scriptures. This is what the scripture is. They are God-breathed. God has inspired all the writers of this. And there are a lot of writers in there. Okay? And like Kenny Pittman. Oh, incidentally. Kenny Pittman said he was so sorry that he went late yesterday because he didn't realize you guys had a thing to do. So he sends his apologies for him. Okay, what do you want me to tell him?
It's okay.
It's okay? And, I guess that after work you had a little get-together, right?
No, that's tonight.
Oh, that's tonight? Oh, well, I'll tell him to make sure he's short tonight. Cut it down tonight. They said it was okay yesterday, but tonight, cut it down. Because when we're going to start going like this. But anyway, it's inspired by God. It's breathed by God. These are God's words as inspired by the people that wrote this. And it says it's good for all these things. For teaching, to correct you. Reproof means to correct. If you're going astray, the scriptures are used to correct you. For instruction in righteousness. Telling you about what righteousness. Yesterday we talked about discovering what righteousness is, what God looks at as righteousness. Not what we think is righteousness, but what God thinks is righteousness. So in 2 Timothy 3:16, this is what it says about the scriptures. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. I was a gardener for a couple of years, and I had a gardening business which failed, and because I was a lousy businessman. Good gardener, lousy businessman. But this was our card. This is our business card. We called it True Vine Enterprises. And this was the grass withers, the flower fades. And then people say, well, why do I want you as my gardener? Okay. But the word of the Lord stands forever. In other words, the things that the Lord says about himself, about man, stuff like that, those are eternal things. Those are eternal truths. They're things that don't change. You know, our culture's changed. You know, you look at, for example, we were talking about, you know, Babylonia and conquered Assyria. Well, gee whiz, after Babylonia was there, the Persians took over. It wasn't long after that the Greeks took over and beat those guys up and changed everything. And then, gee, after that, the Romans came in and changed everything. And after that, the Muslims came in and changed everything. You know, so you have all these things change, but God's Word doesn't change. It's eternal. It never changes. His ideas of righteousness never change. What holiness is to him never changes. What his love, it doesn't change. Everything changes. It stands forever. And so, because of that, you can take comfort You can be sure, you can stand on it because it's something that's eternal. And that should give you great comfort. How many are in their 60s? Anybody in their 60s in here? They all died? How many were... how old were you guys in the 70s? Like babies? High school? Were you in high school? We used to sing this. Preschool? Yeah, okay. I graduated in 1971, so I'm old. Okay. I know. Pretty soon I'll have my 50-year anniversary. Our 50-year reunion. Right? Go and see how many people are still alive. Oh, what happened here? Oh, sorry. Now, we used to sing... No, we didn't sing that. It's the next one, okay. Psalm 119 is the longest book of the Bible, the longest chapter in the Bible. One psalm, 100 and some odd verses, okay. But it says three things about the Word that stood out to me. First of all, you know, we look for, you know, how can I live a clean life? I want to live for the Lord and stuff like this. And what the psalmist says is, by taking heed. And what does taking heed mean? Is that something, that's not a word you guys use today, is it? So what does it mean? Taking heed.
Paying attention to
it? Yeah, right. Paying attention. Pay attention to what the Word's telling you. How can you keep yourself clean? Well, pay attention to what the Lord's telling you in the Word. Okay? That's it. Okay? Thy Word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. How do you hide the Word in your heart? What? That's one way. If you can get it out of your mind and down into your heart, then yeah, that's a good way. Memorizing the Word so it's in there. Because sometimes in times of crises, things come up and words come back to you. I had a friend, my wife's best friend. She had a nervous breakdown. She was when she was in ninth grade. She's bipolar. It was the first time she found out she had a nervous breakdown. The thing that kept her was all the little memory verses about God loves her. And that kept her mind straight during that time. So it was a very wonderful thing. And here he's saying that we hide his word in our heart that we might not sin against him, we might not offend him. And then it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. In other words, his word is given to us also for direction in our life. You know, it might not direct us to the college we want to go to or something like that, but it'll direct us in a lot of decisions we make because we know what's in the Word. We know what the Lord wants. Okay? We know what He expects out of us. All right? Now, here's a long one. Husbands, love your wife. Okay? But he's talking about Christ. Okay? He's saying Christ loves us. We're the church, right? And what he wants to do is he wants to sanctify us. In other words, he wants to keep us separate, purify us, cleanse us by the washing of the water of the Word. In other words, the Word also can be a cleansing thing to us. We fall into sin. There are parts of the Word that it's like washing dirt away. It's a wonderful thing. I remember as a kid, I grew up, my family had six kids. We had three girls and then three boys. They were good Catholics. I wasn't, but my parents were. And Saturday night was bath night, and they got all the boys in the bathtub together. You know, we were little kids. And you know, when we got out of the bathtub, you should have seen the water. It was pukey looking. It was terrible. Because we washed it all off, right? But it's washing the water of the Word. You know, it's what you do to take up. Like, who took the bath today? Where's our fella? You took the bath today? Washing the water of the Word, right? You're clean now. That's good, huh? All right. And the reason why he's washing us is because he wants us. He wants to make us clean. He wants to make us presentable to him. You know, he doesn't want to say, oh, man, look at that. Oh, he wants to say, yeah, I'm just cleaning up a little bit. And isn't it interesting also when you think about the Lord cleaning up? Didn't he wash the disciples' feet? Now, isn't that like the grodiest part of you? Your feet? You know, for me, I'm here, and this is probably the dirtiest part of my body because I'm wearing my flip-flops. And so they get really, really dirty. And yet, they're also some of the most tenderest parts of you. Like, have you ever been barefoot and stepped on a rock? Hurts a lot, doesn't it? Okay. Have you ever been wearing your flip-flops and you step on a rock? And it goes like, you feel it right through there. You know, it's very tender. Your feet are very tender. And so, you know, and washing the feet is not just as it can be the dirtiest part, but it could also be the tenderest. Because sometimes we do things we're very tender about it. You know, it's like touching a sore that is really tender. You touch it, don't touch it. And yet the Lord says, no, I'll touch it. I'll clean it. I'll make everything okay. And so this is what it is. This is what the Word is used for. Okay? It's not that, you know, it's in time, in season. Sometimes it's like water, like washing water. Sometimes it's like a lamp to us. This is what we used to sing. You guys remember? Did you guys sing that? Oh, the Lord is perfect. I guess not. All right. And this is talking about the law being, this is the Old Testament time, being equated with the Word. Okay, the law of the Lord is perfect. And notice what it does. This is what the Word does. It converts the soul. In other words, you read the Word, it can have a changing effect on you, on the way you think, the way you look at life, on the way you see what you're doing. All these things. It converts your soul. It converts you over to the way God sees things. The testimony is sure. It makes you wise. The statutes, they rejoice the heart. The commandment enlightens the eyes. It makes you understand. That's a wonderful thing. The fear of the Lord. Now, the fear isn't like, oh, I'm so afraid he's going to come and get me. But it's a respect. I have a respect for the Lord. Like you have a respect for your parents. You have a respect for your teachers. And so it says fear, the respect is enduring, because as we get to know, and this is the wonderful thing about the Word, you know, as you get to know the Lord in the Word, your respect for Him grows, because you start seeing Him as He is, and you begin to respect Him more and more. And the way He thinks, and the way He moves, and the way He acts. The judgments are true. They're right. That's what righteous means. They're right. They're the right judgment. They're the right thing to do. They're more. The Word. The Word is more to be desired than gold. And here we're talking about, you know, we think about, I want to get the best job and do those things. And what he's saying here is, you know, something like this. That this is the Word. And it's more desirable than you having that CEO job. And then it also says it's sweeter than the honeycomb. Moreover, more than all this, I'm warned by them. I'm warned of danger. I'm warned of going the wrong way. It's like that sign, do not enter, or that sign like speed limit reduced. You know, it's warning you. And in keeping of them, there's great reward. There's a reward. In other words, it's not all you doing something, not everything. There's something that you get from it. By your responding to the Word of God.
I think I got one. I got one more scripture here. Oh.
Oh, isn't that cute? I know. What do you think? A soccer player? I don't know. Or a chimpanzee? Okay. Now, this is the very, very practical part that we want to really look at, okay? As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. You are meant, you know, you are meant to grow spiritually. You're not meant to just be saved from hell and then sit around and do whatever you want, and not grow spiritually, and not grow in your knowledge of the Lord, and just ride in on His coat strings into glory. Okay? That's not God's purpose for you. It never was God's purpose for you. God's purpose for you is to be conformed to the image of His Son, and His Son grew up. As a man, He grew up. He's a little boy, and He grew up just like we do. The thing is that the Word is how we grow spiritually. In other words, the Word is spiritual food. And it says, as newborn babies. Now, did anybody in here have a newborn in the house? Has anybody babysat newborns? Have you? You like it? What do you like about it? It is. It can be until they get hungry. Okay. Do you know when they're hungry? Can you tell when they're hungry? Crying or screaming. You know, it can start as crying, but it ends up as screaming, right? Okay. So, spiritually speaking, are you like that? I mean, when you get spiritually hungry, I don't know if you get spiritually hungry or not. I don't know you guys. You know, I can't tell. But the thing is, it says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk, okay? And babies know that, they let you know that they're desiring something because they yell, they cry out, I want this, I need this, I want it now. It's got to be now. Okay? And so that's what it is. Our life should be based on this. In other words, to live, we need food, don't we? We need food, clothing, and shelter, right? And love. Love and I think it is, we need to feel the touch. There's a big study about touching, and there are people now today who go into hospitals where the parents don't want anything to do with babies, and all they do is they go in there and they hold the babies. A lot of retired people do this because the babies need to feel that touch, that warmth, that kind of affection that goes out. Otherwise, some will die. You know? So they need things like that. But as newborn babies, because we all start out newborn, okay? And we want to grow. We all want to grow up. I mean, don't you remember when you were a kid that you wanted to ride a two-wheeler when you couldn't? I want to ride a two-wheeler. Why can't? Because you're not big enough. Okay, you can't touch the pedals. I want to grow. And then when you're middle school, you want to be in high school. And then when you're in high school, you want to be in college. Then when you're in college, you want to have a job and be married. Then when you have a job and be married, you want to be in high school. It's just too hard. Okay. So, you'll find out. Okay. But the whole thing is, you're meant to grow up, and you will not grow up if you don't eat. You don't eat, and you want to grow up spiritually. You got to eat spiritual. You got to eat spiritual food to grow spiritually. This stuff here ain't gonna make it. Okay, you're not gonna make it to growing spiritually with spaghetti or lobster or even the gummy bears and ice cream. Okay, especially gummy bears and ice cream. You're going the other way fast. Okay. So anyway, as we look at this, the questions we got to see is, we want spiritual food. Who's going to get it? I think the seagull you don't see is going to swoop down and get it. Okay? So the question is, we're going to talk about spiritual food, but you know, we can talk and talk and talk about spiritual food, but the real question is, do you have an appetite for spiritual food? I don't know. You know, that's why I'm asking the question. You got to ask that question yourself. Do I have an appetite for spiritual food? Now, let's put this on the natural level, okay? How many of you guys have ever, it's the regular dinner time, you always eat, and you're healthy. Okay, it's not like you're sick or anything like that, but you're healthy. But it comes down to dinner, and something one thing that your mom makes that you like, and you come to dinner and you're not hungry. Why is that? Why wouldn't you be hungry? What? What? What happened? You ate something before? What would you eat before? There you go. That's why you're not hungry. Okay. Yeah, you eat something else. Okay? You eat something else. Okay? A lot of times, the reason why people aren't spiritually hungry is because they're eating stuff that's taking their appetite away. Okay? And it's not necessarily spiritual food, but, you know, it's taking the place of spiritual food. So you're just not hungry spiritually because you're feeding yourself with something else. You could be feeding yourself with sports. You know, you're drinking Gatorade all day. I don't know. Okay, you could be feeding yourself with computer games. I had one of those games. Stupid game. I can't believe it. What's that one? Candy Crush? Soda Crush or something like that. Okay, my wife put it on there. She put it on this thing. I had to have her take it off. Okay, you know why? This is stupid. I'm 60 years old. That thing's addicting. You know, it's addicting. You're sitting there and you go, like that, and you can't get through one level. And then you hit that little time limit and it goes, you gotta wait. You know, what do I do in the meantime? I gotta wait. I know, I'll watch baseball on TV. Okay, well, in other words, what's happening to my spirit life? I'm feeding my soul with something else. I'm feeding my soul instead of my spirit. Okay, and so, you know, that's the question is you got to ask is, do I have a spiritual appetite? And how much of a spiritual appetite? You know? As babes, well, I don't know what you guys are, because a lot of you guys, you grew up in Christian families, right? And you know, and when you came to the Lord, I can't relate with that because I didn't come out of that. But I remember when I got saved, I couldn't get enough of this. You know, I wanted to read the Word all the time. I was talking with a sister who's from the Houston Fellowship, and she was telling me that when she really met the Lord. And she was raised in a Christian home, but she said, then I really met Jesus. And it doesn't mean she wasn't saved before, but it just means there are some things she just wasn't the only one, and some clip, the Lord showed himself to her in some way. And she goes, then I couldn't have enough. And she goes, I would set my hour like this. I would say, I've got to study for a test. Okay? 45 minutes will be my study book. 10 minutes will be my Bible. And 5 minutes will be just lost. And that's how she did her hour. She goes, because I couldn't get enough of the Word, and I didn't want to just, I knew I had to do my studies and stuff like that, but I wanted to be in the Word too. And so she said, I just couldn't let it separate. That's a wonderful thing, because when you get saved for the first time, you are a babe. You're born again. You want that food. Remember, I had my little Bible was Good News for Modern Man. Anybody ever have Good News for Modern Man? Yeah. Oh. You did? Had a little picture, little six people in it? Okay. Oh, great. I love that little thing. Okay. I always going through this. Good news for mom and dad. It's a great thing. But the thing is, you know, you need a spiritual appetite. If you don't have one, you're not going to grow. Not only that, you're not going to grow. Is parts of your body are going to atrophy. And so they're not going to be strong enough to stand, to walk, and do things like that. And you'll be like those people. What was it? Wall-E? Remember that Disney movie, Wall-E? Remember, they're all fat and they're all like that. Okay? Remember, one of them at one time goes, oh, that's what these things are for. And you know, they found that they could walk and stuff like that. But that's what you're going to be like. You're going to be spiritual blobs. Okay? Okay, now what I want to do is I want to take, let's look at spiritual food. Okay, I'm going to take us through, and I'm just going to use different parts of the Bible and relate them to different foods. Okay,
And because, you know, when you were making your food stuff, did any of you guys think of the seven basic food groups? I know you guys didn't. You need a protein, you know, you need a carbohydrate, you need a vegetable, you know, all this kind of stuff. To have a balanced diet, right? Okay, no, you just want to eat. All right, so the Pentateuch, what's the Pentateuch? First five books of the Bible, okay, they were the Torah, the law, okay, and the historical books, okay. I'm going to liken those to this. You know what this is? This is Passover dinner. Okay? Look at that. This is the plate that it's on, okay? Because it says that so you know where everything goes. The parsley goes here, the egg goes here, the bitter herb there, the shank bone goes there, you know, you're eating lamb, okay? And the charoset goes there, and the lettuce goes there, and that's all set up. And here you see it. It's all set up for you. Okay? And the reason why I want to compare it to this is, you know, in this you have a lamb and you also have these bitter herbs. Okay? And I think when you read the first five books of the Bible and you read all the histories, you see two things. Number one is you see people mess up all the time. You know, they mess up. Because the Bible doesn't sugarcoat anything. David committed adultery and murdered somebody. You know, who is it? Judah, who the Lord Jesus comes out of that family. When he had an affair with his wife's widow. You know, you look at all these people, they're messed up, man. You know, and at the same time, then you always have reference to the sacrifice and the blood that cleanses. So when you read the Old Testament, it's always talking about how man is a sinner, how man has a different nature, and then how God is trying to come through with his blood. He's looking forward to what's coming out. And so the Pentateuch and the historical books kind of show us that all the time. Whenever you read them, you're always finding that. You're always finding, you know, man messing up and the Lord recovering them. Man messing up and the Lord recovering them. So I looked at it as being a Passover meal. All right? The Psalms. And the wisdom book. How many of you guys read Psalms a lot? Oh, you asked the wrong question. You know what? This is like, if most Christians, this is their favorite book. Why? Huh? Why? Because of this. It's comfort food. When you're in trouble, you're down, stuff like that, a lot of people go read Psalms. Because David, you know, he talked about woe is me and then crying out to the Lord, and people can relate to that. And people get help because they see David praying to the Lord, David staying faithful and stuff like this. So it's comfort food, so we look at it like this. Oh, yeah, I want to read Psalms tonight, man. Yeah, this is what I want, okay? And so, you know, there's nothing wrong with comfort food. You know, just unless you just keep eating comfort food all the time, you know. But, you know, it's there for comfort. It's there for us. It makes us feel better. You know, I had a bad day today. I'm going to have a quart of ice cream. You know, I feel better now. Except my stomach. Okay. The prophet. So why are you laughing at the prophet? Are you laughing at my choice of the prophet? Do you think so? What's a salad? It's roughage. Why do you need roughage? Now, you don't have to answer that. Okay, it's to get all the junk out of your body. Right? That's what roughage is for. It's to make you regular. Sorry. Okay. You want to make sure that you're feeling right. Okay. You want to make sure. Okay. And roughage. And if you read the prophets, and these are the things that people really don't like to read because they're always corrected. You're doing this wrong. And you're still doing this wrong. In three chapters later, haven't you guys learned yet? You know, God's going to come and judge you to do this, okay? And the prophets are always doing that. So they're trying to clean you up. That's what the prophets are doing. So it's very, very corrective. But at the same time, do you notice? What's this? What are carrots for? For your eyes. Prophets also foresaw a lot of intermittent things. You know, they saw into the future as God showed them. And a lot of them, like you read the last, from Isaiah chapter 40 to 66, it's all prophetic about the Christ coming. You read Zechariah, you read the parts of Daniel, it talks about the future and stuff like that. So the prophets also have that part in it. Prophets help us to keep clean, and they help us to have a vision, prophetic vision, vision that looks into the future. And so all these things, prophets are the ones who really speak for God. It's somebody coming in and saying, it's not me noticing this, but God's noticing this in you, and that's why he sent me. Boom, 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 he's talking about these things. So the prophets are like a salad. Okay. The gospel in Acts, that's dairy. Okay, the pure milk of the word. But you know, the reason why I'm saying that it's dairy is you never get away from dairy. Okay, you never get away. When you're a kid, you want the milk all the time. How many of you guys still drink milk? Yeah, okay. Us older people don't because, you know, our systems just can't deal with it. But you know something? We get our dairy in other ways. How many of you guys had a cheeseburger this week? Dairy. Yeah. Okay. Something like that. How many had yogurt? Dairy. Okay. So there's always, and we're always coming to, and we always need to get back to what the gospel shows us. The gospel shows us Jesus. The gospel shows us what man's supposed to be in Jesus. The gospel shows us who God is in Jesus. The gospel shows us our redemption. All these things. And we should never get away from that. That's never old stuff. That's never kindergarten. It's always relevant. It's always relevant. And so dairy, even up to our old age, we're looking for some type of dairy in our diet. And then the epistles. You guys are like this. Yeah. Epistles. That's steak. That's meat. Yeah. All right. Because, you know what it takes to digest a steak? A lot. Okay. One of those called a complex protein. Okay. You don't want to, I'm sorry to say this, there are no spiritual vegetarians. Okay. Sorry, right, you got to eat meat. If you remember, Paul said at one time, I think he's talking the writer of the Hebrews, said, you know, I have to give you milk, but I should be giving you meat because you haven't grown up enough. You know, you need a complex system to break down those proteins in the epistles. And it's stuff. Now, the thing is, you know, in dairy you get all this calcium, so you get your skeletal system that helps you stand, okay? But with the meat, you get the stuff that's going to make your muscles build so that you can move, you can defend yourself, you can walk, you can go things. All of these. And you all have to have all of them, though, to grow. You want to be growing as you go forward. So you need all of these things. And you can't just say, oh, gee whiz, you know, I just want the comfort food. Or, oh, I just want the epistles. You can't. You need it all. It's all in the Word, and the whole Word is for us. It's for us all. So we need to eat all the spiritual food. It's for us, okay? Now the next question is, how do you eat? You know, I don't know how you eat. I know I'm usually the first one done. If we go to a restaurant, I'm the first one done, and then I'm like, what do? You know, my wife eats slow. My kids eat slow. You know, I need the crayons that they have. You know, little color. Okay. You guys finished? No, it's okay. I got the crayons. Okay. I don't know. Maybe you eat like this. Oh, I found some other pictures I could have used, but I thought it would freak you out. You know, I had them eating mice. I had one eating a goat. Really cool. But here you have a snake, okay? And the snake, he's got to get his mouth around the egg, okay? And then, look. Now he's got to wait. you know, I just got to wait for the egg to digest, okay? Now, some of you might eat like that, but I think if we eat like that, it's bad for the system, okay? You can't binge eat. And then, you know, you're going to binge eat, and you go, okay, I did this, now I don't have to read for a while. It doesn't work like that, okay? It just doesn't work. If you're a healthy Christian, you eat like this. Okay, have you ever seen a cow eat? They are, like, slow. And you watch them, they're going like this. And then, you know, they swallow. And like about an hour later, it comes back up. And they go. You know, it tastes better the second time. But you know, that's not a bad way to eat. You know, to digest, okay? We're supposed to chew. You know, we're not just supposed to swallow like that. You can choke that way, but we're supposed to chew our food. Break it down. And you know, there are things that we're talking about. Someone talked about memorizing scriptures, taking it down. You know, that would be like a cow having four stomachs. You take it down, and another time you bring that back up, and you're thinking about it again. Meditating on the scriptures is a way to chew it. Thinking about what you read. Because a lot of us, when we read, we just read, and we put it away, and then, you know, through the day, we don't even remember what we read. Just like at school, when we read our school books, we do the same thing with the Bible. I'm not saying that's, I'm just saying this is an observation. You know, this is the way we do things, because we have things to do in our lives, so we don't take the time. But you know, they say it's the best thing for you to eat slowly. It's good for your digestion. It's good because you taste what you're eating. And also, you know, a lot of times we think we got to read a lot. But really, if you eat really slowly, you don't have to eat a lot. You know, you get satisfied by eating a little. And sometimes that's it, you know. If you read what you're doing, like you read your morning time, if you read it slowly, sometimes, you know, and you're thinking about it and stuff like that, you go, I didn't read my chapter, but you know, I got a lot out of the two verses I read. I mean, which is better? I read my chapter, or I got a lot out of my two verses I read? I think getting a lot out of the two verses. You know? It makes a big difference in your understanding. Because that's what you really want to do. You're trying to know who God is. And you can't know him. You're just buzzing by. It's like, you know, driving by in a car. Hey, how you going? You know? And then you don't... Or it's like James says, you know, you look in the mirror and then you forget what you look like. You know? And so, how do you eat? And the other question is this. When do you eat? Now, most of us, I mean, how many of you guys eat three times a day? Okay, I mean, three regular meals. How many of you guys eat more than three meals a day? But they're small and stuff like that because, you know, you need the energy and stuff like that. Okay, that's cool. Okay, how many of you read your Bibles more than once a day? Okay, I'm just asking, you know. I used to have a little devotional. It's called Daily Light for the Daily Path. That's why I still have it. And they have what's called the morning offering and the evening offering. And so, you know, it's good to wake up and read the Word and get into the Word first thing in the morning. To say, Lord, here I am. I'm here. I'm awake. I'm here to listen to you. I just want to hear you. As I read, I want to take it slow. I just want to let you talk to me. Right? But then, you know, even in the Bible times, there were two offerings. There was a morning offering and there was an evening offering. You know, it's a good thing. And I'm not saying, you know, don't say, Jim's saying that you got to do this. But I'm saying this, that you don't have to limit yourself. You know? I don't have to say, well, I've done my reading already. Hey, if you're hungry, has that ever stopped you from eating? I mean, do you ever get hungry like after you've eaten dinner? What do? Yeah, I walk down to the kitchen, pantry, whatever it is, find my little stash of goodies, eat them up, right? Okay? Nothing wrong with doing that with a word either. You're still hungry? Go have some more. Nothing wrong with it. Okay? And so then, I think to close this is then, first is that You need the Word. You need a spiritual appetite. If you don't have one, then there's something wrong. You're sick spiritually if you don't have it. Because generally speaking, when we don't have an appetite, it's either number one, we're eating something else, or we're sick. Because nobody likes to eat when they're sick. Best diet in the world. Just get sick. You lose 5 pounds. Okay? Or you're eating something else. And you've got to ask yourself, okay, what is it, Lord? Am I sick? Or am I eating something else? Let him tell you. You know, let him tell you. Nobody else has to tell you. It's between you and him. Okay? It's not my business, so to speak. It's between you and the Lord. But remember, the Lord is wanting you to know him. And so, to close out with this, because we go to dinner starts at 7:45, right? All right? Okay. So, you know, I know you guys are hungry now. Okay, we're doing that stuff, okay? Oh, I forgot one thing. Snack. 1st snack. No, they stayed away from the candy bar. Okay, the chips. 1st snack. I did this on purpose. Because I think snacks are not reading your Bible. But I think snacks are like reading spiritual books. I don't know if you guys read spiritual books or not, but once in a while people read spiritual books. Biography. The reason why I put fruit up here is because, like, if you read a biography, you see the fruit of the life of Christ worked out in people. And you see the struggles that they had and how they got there. And you find out that they're a lot like you. And it's very, very encouraging to see that people that have become, that we say, oh, these people are great saints, to say, hey, they're no different than I am. I think that's the coolest thing in the world. And then there are other books that, you know, that talk about, you know, different teachings. You know, you can get into, like, teachings on the end times. Or I remember one of the books that had a big impact on my life was Normal Christian Life, which is kind of a doctrinal book, a teaching book. But the whole thing is they're good snacks. They illuminate the Word sometimes for you. They're good things and a way to feed yourself spiritually. Even a little book. My favorite book is Mimosa, about a little illiterate Indian girl who really comes to know the Lord. It's a very great book. It's one of my favorites. And then finally, I think this is finally, yeah. Maybe this should be a prayer that we should have. You know, Lord, give me a love for your Word. You know, I don't think I love your Word. I don't know if I love it. I don't, but I want to love it. You know, I want to have more of an appetite for it. You know, I want to fall in love with you and the Word, because that's what you're going to fall in love with them. You're going to fall in love with them in the Word, and that's a wonderful thing. So why don't we just close by making this our prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have left us everything we need to know you, that you have not hidden off in a dark place and said it's a secret and I hope you find me, and you're not like that. But you want us to know you. You want us to walk before you. You want us to walk in a way that we're knowledgeable, that we're not right with you, that we are right with you, that we're going the right way. How we thank you that you're that kind of God for us. And Lord, I just pray that as we leave this weekend, when we go home, Lord, I don't want to make promises saying I'm going to read this and that and the other thing, because I know I'll break my promise. But Lord, I'm just asking you that you just created me that desire, that it won't be a trying to do something. It'll be just that life in me that wants to eat, that wants to know, that will drive me to your Word and make me open your Word. And Lord, and I pray when I open it, Lord, you'll begin to speak to me. Lord, help me be patient with you. Help me be patient. But Lord, thank you for being patient with me. Draw me to your Word, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you guys aren't disappointed when you go to dinner tonight when your menus aren't.
Okay, guys, next. Just a quick announcement. Tonight we will have sharing time. It will start at 9:45 if Kenny doesn't go over. Just kidding. But it will start at 9:45. We'll be in the lounge area outside of the cafeteria. We don't have sofas this year, but we have some chairs. So praise the Lord that place is still open and we can snack there. Yeah. So again, watch out your brothers and sisters as you go to evening meeting and message to make sure everyone's there and prod everyone if we're falling with a heavy spirit. Just so that, the last night, I really believe the Lord has something reserved for us that will wake us up. And other than that, what's that? Meal tickets. And they know who they are. You should know who you are, who's doing meal tickets. Which starts at 5:15, so you have about 5 o'clock. We'll be there at 5 o'clock to start collecting meal tickets. Our dinner block is at 5:15.
We have a journey. We have particulars on things like what time is the lights out and how we do the
graduation. 11:30 on the book says 11:30. So we want to be optimistic.
I think
we might not be realistic.
Yeah, but.
Okay, we'll get to you first. I'll find you. What size? Medium or small, whatever. Medium, okay. Okay. Well, you are dismissed. We have time before, so if there's any question you have for Jim, grab him, talk to him. I just volunteered him, but it'll be fine. Okay.
Interested.
He gave them all to you.
So no. He cracked it.
I've never asked you.
You are going to eat dinner, right? Yeah, you are.
Oh, are you thinking of breakfast
tomorrow? You are. So did you go eat lunch? I still didn't see you. We did yours.
Okay. I guess I have a loose end.
It was really bad prophecy.